Chapter 7. Small town Ohio. The Dawn street empty, save for two kids on their bicycles, fishing rods tucked under their arms. Their chatter dries up as they self-consciously watch the stranger in the big funny gown approaching them. "Hey guys," Jesus says, "is this the right street for the Anderson house?"
Who?"
one of the kids says. "The Andersons? Old couple, but they got some boys living with them right now." One of the kids is eyeing JC up, thinking something over.
"Miles and Danny?"
JC says. "Danny's about your age."
"Oh, Danny,"
one of them says.
"Yeah, mister. It's the third house on the left down there. One with the red truck in front."
"Thanks, man," JC says.
"Later, kids."
"Hey, mister,"
the quiet boy says, causing Jesus to turn around.
"Are you on TV?"
I used to be," Jesus grins. The two boys will also spend much time being interviewed by the media over the coming weeks. And then Danny is rubbing his eyes as he wakes up, saying,
"Mom?"
Instinctively, as his vision clears and he sees Jesus sitting on the end of his bed. Danny's mouth forms a tiny O.
"Hi, buddy,"
Jesus whispers. He's already seen the newspapers on the kitchen table downstairs, his face on every one. Danny can't speak.
"It's okay, Danny. Nothing to be scared of."
"I'm not scared," Danny says.
Jesus gives it a moment, just sitting there quietly, smiling, before he asks,
"How you been, kid?"
"Okay, I guess."
"Yeah? How's school?"
"We got a strict teacher, Mrs. Douglas."
"She's busting your balls, huh?" Stirring now in the bed on the other side of the small room, then something small and warm and sleepy is suddenly at JC's elbow.
"Unky Jesus?"
little Miles says. JC lifts the boy up onto his knee.
"You're wearing a dress,"
Miles says. Kind of. It's called a toga. It's a party I'm at. I just popped out to say hi to you guys."
"But you're dead,"
Miles says matter-of-factly.
"Miles,"
Danny says.
"Sorry,"
Miles says, sensing he might have caused offense.
I mean, you don't live anymore."
Jesus laughs at the euphemism. "That's right. Well, I don't live down here anymore. I live back in heaven. Like, your home is here with Mom and Grandpa and Grandma now."
"How are you all getting along?"
"Grandpa takes us bowling,"
Miles says.
"And buys us candy all the time,"
Danny adds. "Too much," Mom says.
"How is your mom?"
The boys look at each other.
"She cries a lot," Danny says. "All the time,"
Miles adds, nodding. "Is that a fact?" Jesus says.
"Well, let's see what we can do about that."
Children accept the very strange more easily than adults do. And, of course, Becky's first instinct is to scream. He presses a hand gently across her mouth.
"Shh, Bex, it's okay. It's okay, it's me."
She's breathing very rapidly, sleepy eyes wide open now as she presses herself into the corner of the little single bed in what Jesus guesses is the bedroom she grew up in. There's discolored patches of wallpaper with four holes at the corners where posters once hung. A stack of posters on the floor, one for the first hole record on top, a pile of old photographs and CDs next to it, Lemonheads, Smashing Pumpkins, Mud Honey. She's been going through her old stuff. Sign of depression, JC thinks.
"Bex," he whispers, "I'm gonna take my hand off, okay? There's nothing to be scared of, okay, baby? Trust me."
He slowly takes his hand away.
"I'm dreaming,"
she says. JC shakes his head.
"It's me. Here."
He takes her hand and lays it on his chest. She feels warm skin through thin cotton, the slow flex of his heartbeat.
"How?"
Becky says. Technically, it's complicated. Don't fully understand it myself.
"How you been, Bex?"
He strokes her face, smiling.
Not great.
She manages a weak smile.
I've been so close to drinking again.
She's right on the verge of tears. Jesus nods.
I haven't, but it's just for a couple of years there, when we were all together, doing stuff. I don't just mean since the show and all that. I mean before that, back in New York.
Like you had a purpose? She nods, a tear falling now.
You still do.
He moves in close, taking her face in his hands.
I got something to help you. A job.
A job? She says, wiping away that tear.
Yeah, I saw Pete and...
Pete? Back home?
You know. He nods skywards. Anyway, Bex, you remember back on the ranch when we had the wind turbines put in? Remember there were a few problems and the guy from the company wanted to monitor exactly when the props were turning over, when they were storing up power? Remember? Pete was dealing with it.
Yeah, Becky, thinking, her mind turning over slowly, like one of those props on a still summer day. Remembering that morning, her and Pete and the guy from the company standing around the base of that huge thing.
The guy. He installed a...
You got it, JC says as her face breaks into a grin.
Shit, I'm a fucking moron, Becky says. How could I not have...
Hey, don't beat yourself up, JC says. It's been a traumatic few months. You'd have remembered eventually.
Now, you haven't been to see morgues yet, have you?
No, I... Shit, come on. You promised me. He knows he did wrong with that story thing, but like I told you, probably wasn't thinking too clear. Needed cash or whatever.
Yeah, like I couldn't use a few bucks,
Becky says, gesturing at her teenage room.
Get over it, Bex. Forgive him.
I have. Shit, nothing to forgive. Get together with Morgan. Tell him you've seen me.
He'll never believe this.
I could only come see one of you. You needed it more. Tell him you've seen me, and you guys break the fuck in there if you have to, but get on it. It'll be worth a lot of money, too.
I'm dreaming,
Beck says again. Well, Jesus says, get your sweet cheeks on over there, and we'll find out.